From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Former WorldCom CEO Bernard Ebbers was indicted today for his role in what is considered the largest accounting fraud in U.S. history. Ebbers is accused of 3 counts of securities fraud. He allegedly lied about the telecom giant's true financial condition in the 2 years before the company finally collapsed. NPR's Robert Smith is in New York.
Since WorldCom filed for Chapter 11 protection in 2002, federal prosecutors and regulators have been unraveling the mystery of how one of the nation's largest telecom companies deceived the public for years about its financial health. The trail led to the company's top accounting offices, but prosecutors couldn't trace it to the executive suite until now. Attorney General John Ashcroft traveled to New York to unseal the indictment of CEO Bernard Ebbers.
The message to CEOs is that integrity is very important, and that the falsification of the condition of any documentation that relates to your company is a serious matter.
Ebbers built WorldCom from scratch. In 1983, he and other founders worked out the details for starting a long-distance company in a coffee shop in Mississippi. In the next 15 years, that small company would acquire dozens of other firms, branching out into internet services and broadband, and eventually merging with MCI. But in the year 2000, as company profits dropped, prosecutors alleged that Ebbers okayed a plan to prop up the earnings. They said Ebbers approved the shifting of expenses to thousands of different accounts, and in one case, famously, the company counted $4 billion in line costs as a capital expense, keeping it off the books. Pat DeMauro, the assistant director of the FBI, says this inflated earnings by billions.
This was a misstatement of earnings, and the misstatement was no mistake. It was a deliberate scheme to defraud the citizens of this country.
But it was difficult to connect Ebbers to the accounting scandal because he reportedly didn't use email and didn't write much down. But the break for prosecutors came as Ebbers' chief financial officer, Scott Sullivan, pled guilty today to the same charges and, according to Ashcroft, is cooperating in the investigation. Ebbers, according to the indictment, knew of the numbers game and broke the law on securities fraud by lying to investors. Prosecutors cited numerous conference calls where Ebbers touted what turned out to be fake financial results. And the indictment quoted an interview that Ebbers gave to CNBC in 2002.
We have been a very sound financial company. We've been very conservative on our accounting practices, and we wanted an opportunity to be able to address the issues.
Ebbers resigned as CEO 2 months after that interview. 2 months after that, the company admitted to inflating earnings by $3.8 billion and filed for bankruptcy. FBI Assistant Director DeMauro says the impact was felt nationwide.
Thousands of former WorldCom employees lost their jobs, and the value of the employee stock ownership holdings withered to nothing. Thousands of other WorldCom stockholders lost their life savings, or a significant portion of them.
Attorney General Ashcroft would not reveal what evidence they had against Bernard Ebbers beyond any testimony from his CFO, Sullivan. James Cox, a security law professor at Duke University that's been following the case, says that Ebbers may try to pin the blame for the fraud on Sullivan.
Ebbers' defense will be the same as what we're going to find, I think, ultimately with Ken Lay at Enron, is the idea that I maintained an overall view of this company, but in terms of the day-to-day financial management, I depended totally upon the CFO, and I'm the most surprised of anybody to find out that the books were cooked because I thought they were honestly prepared.
But Professor Cox says that accounting cases like this one do leave a big paper trail that prosecutors can use effectively. If Bernard Ebbers is convicted of the 3 counts of securities fraud, he could serve up to 25 years in prison. Meanwhile, his former company, now called MCI, is trying to move on and has plans to emerge from bankruptcy. Robert Smith, NPR News, New York.